Good morning. To introduce the topic today, introduction is a little bit unusual today, but for the record, and for those that are listening to the audio later, I'll establish the fact that I am dressed reasonably today. I have on a normal jacket, some normal pants, a normal shirt. This is in part because Bertina picked out my clothes for today. Wednesday night, Bertina wasn't at the house. So we usually have a study with Tammy, have a supper and a study, and then they usually ride together. And there was some snow, so they had left earlier, and I'd been shoveling different things. Needed to jump in the shower, get out, grab some clothes. It was cold. I thought, I'll grab a sweater. I grabbed a sweater out of my closet, and by the time I got out of the shower and got it on, it's pretty much time to come, but I looked in the mirror, and a thought occurred to me. I thought, is that a woman's sweater? But it was clearly too big for Bertina. It didn't seem to be big enough for me, but it was too big for Bertina, and it was in my closet, and it was time to go, so I left. And as I was heading here, I thought, maybe when I get there, I will ask Brianne to take a look at this sweater. But I got here, it was time to start. So I went ahead and proceeded up here first when it was Brian's class, and then went to my class. So after standing in front of people here, standing in front of people in the class back there, after services, I saw my two daughters sitting over there talking. And I walk up, and Brianne's smiling, and she said, is that a woman's sweater? But I checked it later. It said doctors. It said extra large. I'm not sure what's going on with that sweater. But whatever the case, it was just kind of weird. And later some people let me know, yeah, it was weird. Which means just because it's in the closet doesn't mean it should be worn. And just because it's in the store doesn't mean it should be worn. And perhaps because I did get dressed when Bertina was not in the house, it's maybe taken out of context, but remember Genesis 2 did say it's not good for man to be alone. So I don't know what happened with that. But it brings us to what we were already going to be talking about today anyway, clothing, purposes, statements, and responsibilities. Stephen or I usually speak on this topic around this time of year, partly because people dress more reasonably and more decently in cold weather than they tend to when spring hits, partly because it's cold. Spring comes, and a lot of people just start shedding their clothes. So let's think about this, and we'll begin with Genesis chapter 3. Open your Bible, please, to Genesis chapter 3. You know the situation here, that God has created man. It's not good for man to be alone. He's created woman. They are not clothed. God has made lions and tigers and bears and all sorts of things, and they're not wearing any clothes, and Adam's not wearing any clothes, and Eve's not wearing any clothes. Nobody on earth is wearing any clothes. And then the time of naivety and innocence ends after they eat of the tree and they have a knowledge of good and evil, and suddenly they're ashamed of themselves standing there, and they hide from God, and they're among the bushes, and they said, I was afraid because I was naked. And he said, who told you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I have commanded you? And he said, the woman, she that you gave, she told me to eat. And the woman said, the serpent. And after the penalties on each, then God made for them garments of skin and clothed them. Now they had sewed together some leaves and put some bear covering on. And that's the thing. Ever since this point, people have worn clothes, more or less. Adam and Eve had started out with less, and then God put on more. We have here, the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Now, after this and today, fish don't wear clothes. Bears don't wear clothes. Birds don't wear clothes. Snakes don't wear clothes. All the animals on earth just fly around, swim around, walk around, or crawl around without any clothing on. We wear clothes. We're supposed to wear clothes. And in this case, it was to cover their nakedness. Apparently in the garden, the temperature would have been fine. They were comfortable like that. Turn to Genesis 38. Our second point is that clothes make statements. In Genesis 38, you've got a situation where Judah has married one of his sons to this young woman. He has died. He has given her to a brother, and he has refused to do his duty and bring seed up to his brother, and he is struck dead. And then he says, remain a widow in your father's house, this is down in verse 11, till Shelah, my son, grows up. And she remained in her father's house. In the course of time, the wife of Judah, Shua's daughter, died. And when Judah was comforted, he went up to Timnah to the sheep shearers. He and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And when Tamar was told, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep, she took off her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil, wrapping herself up. She sat at the entrance to Anaim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown up, and she had not been given to him in marriage. So what's happened here is she had been married, her husband died. The brother married her to raise up seed for the brother. He's not fulfilling that responsibility. The Lord struck him. She's now to wait for this other brother, but years have gone by. He has grown up, and she wasn't given in marriage to him. She wants a child. She knows that Judah is now a widower and knows his character, and the character of the patriarchs was not always good character. And she goes, takes off her widow's garments, and puts a veil on. You'll see why in a moment. So, when Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. Now, in other times, in other ages, prostitutes made clear who they were by uncovering themselves. At this time, in this place, what the prostitutes did, and I imagine due to the shame involved, was that they covered themselves. So she had been wearing widow's garments. That made a statement about her, that she was a widow. She put off the widow's garments and she sat out here at the gate with something over her face, which made a statement about her. She's available for hire as a prostitute. Judah, as she predicted, and she would have known her father-in-law at this point, came up and goes into her as a prostitute, and for price, there is to be some arrangement made that later she uses to confirm the fact of what he had done. And then he realizes that his behavior is worse than hers. Ugly story here, but just notice that clothing does make statements. Next text, Exodus chapter 22, verse 26 through 27. We're going to be kind of just from beginning to end looking at a few selected texts on clothing. Exodus chapter 26 and 27. If you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be a moneylender to him. You shall not exact interest from him. If you ever take your neighbor's cloak in pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down, for that is his only covering. and it is his cloak for his body. In what else shall he sleep? If he cries to me, I will hear, for I am compassionate. It gets cold at night. And so this clothing, this may be a poor man, and he's given you his coat. He needs maybe some food or something. I'll pay you later, but he hasn't got it by that evening. Go ahead and give him his coat back, because after the sun gets down and the temperature drops, he's going to need it. That's another reason we wear clothing. It's not just one or the other. People have been clothed because it's been cold. Some of those people are about to start being very unclothed, but that's not the only purpose of clothing for warmth and protection. It is also to cover nakedness, Exodus chapter 28. Here you have the priestly garments, and you've got the breastplate with the different stones. You've got the purple, you've got the gold, you've got the bells. You've got things like the caps that in verse 40 are for glory and for beauty. And then you've got other parts that are just to cover their nudity. Verse 42, you shall make for them linen undergarments to cover their naked flesh. And then it tells how long they're to be. They shall reach from the hips to the thighs. They shall reach from the hips to the thighs. This is obviously inclusive. It's not from below the hips to above the thighs. It's including the hips and including the thighs. And notice, among the two genders, male and female, men are generally much more visually stimulated than women. But this is men dressing that are to have to cover, in covering the flesh of their nakedness, to cover from the hips to the thighs. Keep that in mind. I remember when so much of what people do in society, some people dress inappropriately because they have inappropriate purposes. When Judah's daughter-in-law put a veil on and sat at the gate like she was a prostitute, it was because she was planning to act as a prostitute. Some people dress indecently because it's just what everybody else is wearing. That's not how we're supposed to operate. You remember in Romans chapter 12? Don't be conformed to this world. Some translations say don't be fashioned according to this world. The point is not fashion, just in all sorts of ways we're not to be, but it includes that. One of the things that my parents expected me, and this was when I was a kid, it was one of the things that I think really helped me. It was awkward at the time, but it helped me. You remember what basketball shorts looked like in the 70s? Now, basketball shorts, you know, they're decent. You can move well. You know, they're comfortable, and they're long. And those guys play really well. But you remember what they wore in the 70s? They wore those ridiculous little shorts. And at the time, somebody might have said, well, you need to be able to move around. You watch a professional basketball game today where they're wearing, you know, some they're not having any problem moving around. But for whatever the case, they had those little shorts back there. And so in gym class, too, they'd issue us these little shorts. And my parents, you know, made clear I wasn't going to be wearing those. And Mom sewed me, you know, this pair of longer knee shorts. And I'm sure I looked ridiculous to everybody in, you know, in the gym. The guys were here, the girls were here and everything. And I don't think for a minute that if I'd been wearing the other ones, the girls at the other end would have been saying, ooh, look at Scott. My legs aren't very good looking now and they weren't very good looking then. But it taught me a lesson. It taught me a lesson as a child. We're not just going to do something because everybody else does it. And if there's something not appropriate, we're not going to do it. And that helped me greatly. Because as you get older, there's more things that come along in life. And if we don't develop some backbone, we're not going to do very well. Jesus said, beware when all men speak well of you. If we make things for our children where it's always easy, it's always easy, it's always easy. You know, well, yeah, share, because I'll give you another one. You know, where it's always easy and they never actually have to sacrifice or do anything hard, what have we not built into that child? We have not built any real backbone and stamina and character. Sometimes things need to be hard on us and on our children so that we learn, oh, no, yes, sometimes life's going to be unpleasant or awkward or difficult or somebody's going to make fun of us. Leviticus 17. I'm running a little bit slow on time, so some of these I'm not going to take time to turn to. This is actually a statement referring to sexual activity. But in Leviticus 17, where it's talking about don't uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife, don't uncover the nakedness of this woman, don't uncover the nakedness of that woman, in the context, it's referring to uncovering their nakedness for physical relations. But notice how it is described. The language used is don't uncover her nakedness. We live in a culture now that is extremely voyeuristic and pornographic. We live in a culture where if there's no training and if parents aren't paying attention to what's going on, children get used to just being able to go online and look around and find all sorts of people uncovering their nakedness all the time. And that is wicked and it's destructive and it's caused huge problems with all sorts of people in all sorts of ways. Clothing needs to cover. There's a place for uncovering. Leviticus 17 is not talking about your own wife. It's talking about someone else's wife. Don't uncover her nakedness. There is a beauty that God has created and a beauty that is to be appreciated within marriage. And you can read about that in like Proverbs chapter 5. Let that beauty be enjoyed between the husband and the wife. That's not other people's relationship there. Do not uncover her nakedness. And don't uncover nakedness for those other men out there and such. Let that be for your husband, etc. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. We have a lot of, one of the things going on now is this idea of, well, I identify as a woman or I identify as a man and that type of thing. And we have cross-dressing here is prohibited. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. When we get through the scriptures on this screen, there's two final screens, and we're going to illustrate some things about clothing, and I'll come back to this point then. But one of the things that's really popular right now and what some of the fashion industry is pushing is kind of a unisex gender blurred thing going on. And you have men dressing more and more like women, women dressing more and more like men, and now they're even hiring male models to model women's clothing or female models to model men's clothing. God created male and female. And we're living in a society that's not respecting that. And young people, pay attention to these trends because, and you'll see some of this in a minute. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10. The description where he looks out and he sees this foolish young man being tempted by this woman who is saying, my husband's not home, come with me. And how is she dressed? She's dressed as a prostitute. And my guess from the context this time, different place, different time, hundreds of years later, different spot, is this is not that she's all covered up in shame. This is a rather brazen woman here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 30. Jesus says, you have heard that it said, do not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone that looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. Two things there. What do men have a responsibility to do, according to that verse? Not look on a woman to lust after her. This is not talking about his wife, because it said, if you do that, you're committing adultery in your heart. There should be desire. There should be appreciation within the marriage. This is outside of marriage. Men have a responsibility. And if a man says, but how can you help but lust? Not look. Now, it's not as easy in a society where women are going around constantly wearing very little. And in other cases, men too. There are men that wear very little. And we have television. And a lot of TV shows don't need to be watched. A lot of movies don't need to be seen. A lot of places don't need to be gone to. There's a second responsibility there. We're not only to not be sinning ourselves, we're not to cause other people to stumble. And many times, a young girl or a young woman will put on some clothing and maybe she intends to be provocative. Maybe that's her purpose. Other times it's not her purpose. Maybe she's saying, oh, this is cute. You know, that boy over there that I like, he might notice me in it. She may not realize how he's noted. He's not just saying, oh, she's cute. That may be what she's looking for. She's not. She may be looking for more than that. Other times, she may be naive and just not realize how it looks to a guy when she's wearing something extremely form-fitting or low or short or exposing or peekaboo or whatever. And what she thinks is cute and what her friends say, oh, that's really cute on you. Oh, that's really cute. She may not realize how it looks to other people. I've talked to people and men who, I remember one time in a study with a man that was divorced, middle-aged man, and he said, I can't even go to the mall because of the way the girls are dressed there. John 21, verse 7, we talk about choosing where we go. A lot of people think, just like in the 70s, well, this is what you wear for this. Tennis skirts. I don't know what they wear now, but I know what it used to be. You don't have to wear something like this, you know, to be able to play tennis. Cheerleaders. Anytime your undergarment is color coordinated with the team colors, it kind of tells you something's wrong with the whole purpose of that outfit. But a lot of people think, oh, well, this is what you wear to the beach. Is that what you should wear to the beach? We got one example in the Bible of what somebody wore to the beach and what somebody wore to go swimming. And you know where it is. It's in John 21. It's after the resurrection. The apostles are up at the Sea of Galilee, and Peter said, I'm going fishing. And the others said, we'll go fishing too. And they went out, and men together, working, had stripped for work. They'd taken out their outer garments, and they would have had on their undergarment, no doubt. And they're out there working in the boat as fishermen at night. That's fine. They're not out in public or anything. But the next morning, someone's on the bank and speaks to them and says, cast out the net. They do. They get a lot of fish. And John says, it's the Lord. And what does Peter do? Turn over there to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse 7. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. So when Peter heard it, he put his cloak on, or he had on, your translations might say, he was stripped for work, or a footnote, had on his undergarment only, was naked. He would have viewed it like, I've got a Bible dictionary back there pointing out on this verse that the Hebrews considered themselves naked if they were only in their undergarment. And another way of looking at that is this. You look at what people wear to the beach, and you look at undergarments. Which covers more? Sometimes the undergarments cover more than what they're wearing to the beach. Now, if a girl is at home and somebody rings the doorbell and she was getting dressed and she doesn't have on her clothes yet, she would say, what? I'm not dressed. Well, that's right. And if it's not dressed here, why does having polka dots on it, you know, mean that you're dressed over here? Peter did what? Because he wasn't dressed, he put some clothes on, and then he went swimming, and then he went to the beach, to the shore. We need to stop accepting, and I remember one time, there was a family I discussed this with, and they didn't pay attention to these things, but then I remember one time a member in the family got themselves into a lot of trouble because of the amount of time that they had spent at the beach. And they told me about just how difficult it was because they were there, it's there hour after hour around. And you know what it's like at the beach. And it led to some really, really sad things. 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 10, we have two more texts. Then those last illustrations, the lesson will be yours. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Nine through ten. In like manner, let women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefastness. ESV says in respectable apparel, with modesty. Shamefastness, the ability to blush, and sobriety. Not with braided hair, gold, pearls, costly raiment. And I've seen some pictures of some of the hairstyles that they would do. They would just spend a lot of time on and really do up. And that's, don't make it about that. Don't make it about this flashy stuff trying to get people's attention here. He said, adorn yourself with good works, but which becometh women professing godliness through good works. Very similarly, Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 says this. In like manner, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may without the word be gained by the behavior of your wives, beholding your chaste behavior coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning, the braiding the hair, the wearing of jewels, the gold, or putting on apparel. Let it be the hidden man of the heart in the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And now I want to close with these. On this gender stuff, this is Gentleman's Quarterly. Blurred Lines, Why Gender-Neutral Fashion is the New Normal. Let's look at these images. Men dressing effeminately, women dressing more masculinely, and on some of these you start wondering, is that a man or is that a woman? And that's kind of the point. It's not the way it needs to be. God created men and women. And our society right now is very interested in gender blurring everything, and we don't need to be a part of that. And when something comes, but it's in fashion, don't be a part of that. And this, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Doth not even nature itself teach you, if a man have long hair, it is a dishonor to him. If a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her. Respect the differences in gender. And finally, would this be appropriate? Should a child of God be wearing clothes too tight, too low, too short? And you're wondering if I'm going to put pictures up there, and no, I'm not. Why? Why would I not put pictures up there? You can walk out around and see what people are wearing. We would be embarrassed, wouldn't we? If we had photographs up there, you know what it is when people are wearing things that are tight and short and low and stuff, and it would be disgraceful and inappropriate to put those pictures up there. So, let's not walk around in public in that which is disgraceful. Let's close with Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's stand and sing the song Selected, and if you need to respond to the gospel invitation and be baptized into Jesus Christ, won't you do that as we stand and sing?